Reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 16, text number 31. Chapter 16 is entitled How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali, and the present section is a dialogue between Dharma in the form of a bull, discussing with the earth in the form of a cow, and Dharma has just asked Mother Earth why she looks so sorry. Is it because of this? Is it because of all the topsy-turvy arrangements of Kali Yuga? And then he hints at what the real reason is. Those topsy-turvy conditions of Kali Yuga are due to the absence of Krishna, because after Krishna left, Kali Yuga began. So the concluding parts of Dharma's questions: O Mother Earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari incarnated himself as Lord Sri Krishna just to unload your heavy burden. All his activities here are transcendental, and they cement the path of liberation. In the purport it says they surpass the path of liberation. It's Jiva Goswami Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's rendering of Nirvana Vilambitani. It minimizes the value of liberation, or surpasses liberation. Because the state of liberation is a state of neutrality, and the association of Krishna is beyond neutrality, or indifference towards matter. It's positive ecstasy and loving exchanges with Krishna. So Nirvana Vilambitani, that's what Krishna's presence did. It gave great transcendental happiness to Mother Earth beyond neutrality. But we hear so much about, as we observe Krishna Janmashtami every year, we hear about Krishna's appearance and Krishna's Mother Earth going to the shore of the milk ocean and pleading, please relieve the burden of these demoniac kings. So this is the other end. Krishna did, Krishna agreed, Krishna came, Krishna gave transcendental happiness to Mother Earth, and now Krishna's gone, and now she's feeling, the demoniac kings are gone, but Krishna's gone too. You are now bereft of his presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. This is probably why he's conjecturing why you look so sad. Mother, this is the last of his verses, you are the reservoir of all riches. Please inform me of the root cause of your tribulations, by which you have been reduced to such a weak state. I think that the powerful influence of time, which conquers the most powerful, might have forcibly taken away all your fortune, which was adored even by the demigods. So when Krishna was present, Yudhisthira was king, and sometimes in this first canto it's described the wealth of the kingdom of Yudhisthira. Here the context is the wealth of the earth planet, of which Yudhisthira was the ruler, so he had great wealth. Rivaled the wealth of Kuvera and Indra, the denizens of heaven, they were amazed at the opulence but of Yudhisthira. But that's because of Krishna's presence. The whole earth was bountiful because of Krishna's presence. And now, Krishna's absence. So Kali Yuga is manifesting itself. So the immediate response given by Mother Earth, she doesn't waste a moment. It's immediately, Krishna! And she says, whatever you have inquired will be explained by me one by one, all the questions you've asked. She then speaks about him and says, you too were once fully supported by four legs, and look at you now. There's only one leg remaining, and even that's wobbling. And when Krishna was present, you increased prosperity throughout the world, happiness and prosperity throughout the universe. When Dharma is observed, everyone prospers. She then describes Krishna's wonderful qualities. There's a list of 40 and many other transcendental qualities of Krishna. And that very same Krishna, who being present on the surface of the earth, on my surface, Mother Earth's surface, that opulence that you speak about was manifest because of Krishna's presence. But he has now closed his pastimes on the face of the earth. In his absence, the age of Kali has spread its influence everywhere. And so I'm sorry to see this condition of existence. She's sorry because of the absence of Krishna, and she's sorry of the consequence of the absence of Krishna, with this, the debilitated condition of earth and the suffering condition of people on earth. And now she's going to specify some of the discrepancy of the people on earth during the age of Kali. Text 31. I am thinking about myself and also, O best among the denizens, among the demigods, about you, as well as about all the demigods, sages, denizens of Pitriloka, devotees of the Lord, and all men obedient to the system of Varna and Ashram in human society. So she's saying she's thinking about them. She's thinking of the misfortune of such people. I'll read the purport. It's nice. To effect the perfection of human life, there is cooperation between men and demigods, sages, denizens of Pitriloka, devotees of the Lord, and the scientific system of Varnashram, Varna and Ashram orders of life. The distinction between human life and animal life therefore begins with the scientific system of Varna and Ashram, guided by the experience of the sages in relation with the demigods, gradually rising to the summit of establishing our eternal relation with the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. In the Purusha Sukta prayers of Rig Veda, they're very much appreciated in Vaishnava tradition. There are prayers to Lord Vishnu as the Purusha, because it's not Purana, because it's directly Shruti mantras. It's very terse It's not elaborated in detail. But there are several significant things that it's describing time. The time allows for events. Conversely, without time, you don't have events. Worldly events, because there's past, present, and future. So there are those that argue that the Vedas only deal with Brahman, because that's all there is Brahman. And if you have Brahman only, how do you have events? Because then you have to have subject and object. You have to have tool. And you have to have time, past, present, and future. The Purusha Sukta mantras are describing creation. It's within time. It's first this, then this, then this. And so the prayers are going to, it's significant that it's in the Purusha, it's in the Rig Veda. And the beginning of Purusha Sukta mantra is offering prayers to Purusha, which the impersonalist will say, well, that's just Brahman. There's nothing, because all there is Brahman. Purusha means Brahman, and Brahman means this one substance or one existence, Sat. But then it describes what Purusha does. Purusha expands himself into the universal form, and the universal form has different parts: his arms and his legs and his heads and his bellies and his mouths and the Virat. There's demigods, there's sages, there's human beings, there's all types of animals, and they all have a relationship with one another. And then that same Purusha manifests the system of Varnashram to guide the human sector of the Virat, the creation. Right in Rig Veda, it describes the Varna and Ashram system. Then it goes further, the duties of the Brahmanas, the duties of the Kshatriyas, just like we have in Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Karma Svabhavajam Kshatriya Karma Svabhavajam, and so on. So this system of Varna Ashram is God-given. Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam. Krishna created it. He created it according to guna and karma. So it's a God-given system for organizing the human population to what he's saying here in the purport is to come out of animal consciousness and come into civilized consciousness, human consciousness, and from human consciousness to divine consciousness. But one isn't even above animal life, according to the Vedic picture of things, if one doesn't accept God's arrangement for human society to become humans. That's the Varnashram system. Prabhupada says this many, 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 many times. Here he says it again. When God made Varnashram Dharma, which is strictly meant for developing animal consciousness into human consciousness and human consciousness into godly consciousness, is broken by advancement of foolishness, the whole system of peaceful and progressive life is at once disturbed. So the reverse is people who are disturbed. You know anybody that's ever disturbed? If people are ever disturbed, they should take this system varnashram because it will help to regulate them from animal slash disturbed consciousness to human consciousness and then to divine consciousness. It's designed that way. In the age of Kali, the first attack of the venomous snake, because that's one of the first events of Kali Yuga, was the personality of Kali sent this venomous snake to kill Maharaj Parikshit. But so this venomous snake can refer to that or can just refer to the viciousness of the influence of the age of Kali or the personality of Kali. What is that influence first attack? And same, if we understand that, we just reverse it. The first attack of the venomous snake strikes against the God-made Varnashram Dharma. And how does that manifest? A person properly qualified as a Brahmana is called a Shudra, and a Shudra, by qualification, is passing as a Brahmana, all on the false birthright claim. And Prabhupada gets really specific here about, a person who has propagated the idea that a Brahmana is Brahmana by birthright. He doesn't say Tulsi, but he says the author of Ramcharitamanas. Tulsidas. To become a Brahmana listen to how he writes this. To become a Brahmana by a birthright claim is not at all bona fide, although it may be a fulfillment of one of the conditions. But the real qualification of a Brahmana is to control the mind and the senses, and to cultivate tolerance, simplicity, cleanliness, knowledge, truthfulness, devotion, and faith in the Vedic wisdom. In the present age, consideration of the necessary qualification is being neglected, and thus the false birthright claim is being supported by even a popular or sophisticated poet, the author of Ramcharitamanasa. Paragraph. This is all due to the influence of the age of Kali. The Mother Earth, represented by a cow, was lamenting the regrettable condition. So if there's any fans of Ramcharitamanasa, I'm very sorry that I had to read this morning, but it's right in the purport. As Krishna is presenting Varnashram in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is presenting here in this first canto because it's important. In the first canto, reference to the importance of Brahminical culture is made so many times. So many times, Brahminical culture. Because without Brahminical culture, how do you have guidance how to perform Varnashram? Answer, you don't. And without Varnashram culture, you can't elevate people from animals to humans, according to the Vedic system. And without human, how are you going to go to divine consciousness? At least some human sector of society should be there to benefit the other sector of society that's not. And that makes for a lamentable condition. As the verse is saying, Mother Earth is feeling sorry for for herself, for Dharma, for the demigods, for the sages, for people in general, for the animals. The responsible, we'll repeat this word several times, the responsibility of the human form of life upon to act properly in relation to other forms of life is very significant. It's not like the demigods are dependent upon us, but for proper peace and intended functioning of creation, acknowledgement of the controllers, those who are the supplying agents of everything. And, vertically and laterally and horizontally, the whole picture of the relationships of all things ultimately under the coordinated system of the Supreme is a duty of the human form of life, because we have such equipment. We have evolved consciousness and instruments to act upon the world. And if the big picture, the relationship of all things in relation to the plan of the Supreme Lord is denied or ignored or just given a nice name but don't even understand how it works together, it's a fool's paradise. It's hell. And to move things out of that hellish condition, recognizing the different parts and how by God's design the different parts fit with each other, the parts respecting different parts. Pride destroys respect. So if the Brahmana is thinking, "Ha, I'm a Brahmana and everyone's less than me," if there's pride in the heart of the Brahmana, he's disqualified. I mean, even before he opens his mouth, he's disqualified. Because that person is supposed to be giving vision, and how can a person give vision if they can't see? They can't see if their heart is filled with pride. Can't possibly. So, birth in a Brahmin family, very nice. Now, what about the qualities of a Brahmana? And if the qualities of the Brahmana are not there, then he's not Brahmana. And conversely, someone may be born in an unfortunate family. Okay, that's unfortunate. But if by training they become fixed in Brahminical quality, that's a Brahmana. Like in Gaura Lila, the position of Jughai and Mudhai, they were in Brahmin families, but their behavior certainly wasn't Brahmana. But through the association of Mahaprabhu, he restored them. And then they became not just Brahmana, but Vaishnavas. So that's this principle of taking the uncivilized and helping them to become civilized. So there's this gradual varnashram system. It's just for social organization. It's not a pecking order of I'm better than you are. It's a natural arrangement for respectful interaction. Like Prabhupada would say about the parts of the body. If the head said, forget the rest of the body, I'm important. No good. Or even just say, I don't like, you're the legs, I don't care about you. The legs are important. all the parts of the body important, the stomach is important, the arms are important, the head is important. We can say the head is most important, but the head without the stomach? And you can still exist without arms and legs, but you can't exist. So, but it's very difficult. You become fully dependent upon somebody to take care of you, even just to exist. So the natural arrangement is there, and then there's respect. Someone is doing this part, and someone is doing that part, and there's a great appreciation and respect for the various parts of society working cooperatively together for. But that working cooperatively together for will not be there unless the rest of the sentence is finished. For whom? Or for what purpose? So Varnashram is Daivi Varnashram. It's Yajnavai Vishnu. It's for the satisfaction of Vishnu, as in the Purusha Sukta mantras. The deity is at the very beginning. The invocation is the worshipable Lord Vishnu, who is the Purusha. That means the enjoyer of Prakriti. He's the enjoyer of Prakriti. And there are various ways that we can cooperate to be enjoyed by Purusha, because our activities are meant to satisfy Purusha. That's the natural system. And each to their propensity, respecting others with other propensity, by quality, not just by birth. So, one of the conditions of Kali Yuga is, as Prabhupada writes, through the advancement of foolishness, interesting phrase, through the advancement of foolishness, all of that is lost. People don't even know about the Varnashram, or they know something about it and they abuse it. And because people abuse it, then other people criticize it. The caste system, bad. The pride is bad, the system isn't bad. The abuse is bad, but the instrument itself is a God-given instrument. Knives are bad. Knives misused are bad. It's understanding the proper utility of the Varnashram system. And so what is its purpose? Stated again, take animal consciousness and elevate it to human consciousness. But that's not the ultimate objective, become a human, become civilized. That's nice, become civilized instead of uncivilized. But that's meant to help one go to the stage of divine consciousness. And therefore, within the Bhagavatam, it's not just teaching morality. It's teaching God consciousness. And where you find God consciousness, you'll find morality. And as far as social structure is concerned, that morality means we each have our duty, we perform our duty, and respect others who are doing other duties unto Krishna. And Brahminical culture is to guide all of that. The Kshatriya component is to administrate all of that. The Vaishya component is to provide the basic necessities, food and dairy, and protect the cow and the land, as opposed to the business of the Vaishya is to try to squeeze as much out of the cow and the land as one can for economic development. That happens when Brahminical culture is missing. The Vaishya doesn't know what to do, and so he does the wrong thing. There's no standard. There's no one to teach standard, because no one that knows the standard, there's no one that has that quality. Each part has its function. The Shudra component, to assist the other sections of society, all properly guided by the brahmanas. It's a scientific system, and in neglect of that scientific system, under the influence of the personality of Kali, which in, as already pointed out, but in various ways is attacking the very structure of God consciousness intended by design, by the Creator Himself, for providing people who are born, not just human, but all species who are born on earth, to become elevated, just like is described in 3rd chapter Bhagavad Gita. The process of sacrifice is there, so that one can become restored to God consciousness. And the influence of Kali is directly to attack that. So those who are practicing God consciousness need to be aware of the attack and not yield to it, but to stay within that system that Krishna has given for smooth functioning of society, fostering respect between various parts of society and the other forms of life, going up and going down and sideways. The animals, the trees, the birds, and the demigods, and all others who have other propensities than your own. A system of respect and understanding what your duties are. Doing them for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead under the direction of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, that's the natural system. Hare Krishna. Any discussion?
Something different.
It's inconceivable, but we'll describe it this way. It's events that have no influence of time, or eternal events. But we don't have any experience of an eternal event, do we? We have experience of events within time. That means beginning, middle, and end. Or past, present, and future. But what are events that have no influence of time? They're eternal. What is that? It's beyond our experience. But they're events. So, nitya lila. And Krishna's, so, time is eternally present. Or time is eternal, or time is eternally present. Prabhupada described one way of thinking of that is like the rising of the sun
it's in the dark of night, there's no sun. And then, just as now, the sun is beginning to rise, so some light in the firmament, and then dawn, and then midday, and then the day closes, and the sun is gone again. That's time. So, Krishna is like the sun. So, he appears in this universe, and then simultaneously he's appearing in another universe, appearing in another universe, appearing in another universe. He's the sun. He's not the one who's perceiving the sun. He is time. He's not influenced by time. He is time. Somewhere he's Mother Yasoda is binding Krishna. Somewhere Krishna is killing the demons, Bakasura, Ristasura, marrying Rukmini. Krishna is eternally performing these pastimes, although they appear to us to be time-bound. Requires a strong heart. Prabhupada certainly didn't emphasize it. He de-emphasized it, the institution of Varnashram. He did include some parts of Varnashram. I mean, he included brahmacharis and grahastas and sannyasis, and beginning they weren't vanaprastas, but he established divisions of social order and brahminical initiation, and those that, he was very, 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 very particular about the qualifications of those to receive brahminical initiation. The indication, Prabhupada began giving the indication, as far as my studies of the chronology of things go, Prabhupada started making emphasis on Varnashram when he was commenting that my disciples, they're not chanting their rounds, they're not chanting their Gayatris, they're not performing Bhagavad Dharma. And because they're not performing Bhagavad Dharma, they're falling. And because they're falling, we need a safety net. We need to install, to establish Varnashram. It's the safety net. It's the, at least don't fall below human, down to animal existence. I don't have the sense that Prabhupada wanted more than a safety net. In other words, that Prabhupada wanted the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to become a Varnashram institution. He wanted it to become a Bhagavad Dharma institution with a safety net. Even so, back with the Bhagavad Dharma, Prabhupada recognized propensities, and he engaged people according to propensity. And he sometimes engaged people even outside of their propensity because something was needed in service to Krishna. You know, the emergency, there's the routine, there's the preferred, and there's the emergency kinds of duties. And to make the daivi part, what Prabhupada required was, or Trivikram Maharaj was giving some nice Prabhupada stories yesterday. And the essence of one of them that he told was that what Prabhupada wanted was our surrender. There was a situation where Trivikram Maharaj was asked to go to Mayapur to help in Mayapur. So he went to Mayapur to help in Mayapur. He wasn't happy there. He was getting restless there. So he had an idea. He wanted to go to Korea and start preaching in Korea. He thought Prabhupada would like that very much because, you know, he liked opening up new territories. And, you know, who wants to go to Korea? So he approached Prabhupada and wanted to go to Korea. I wanted to start a preaching center in Korea. Prabhupada said that you've something to the effect of, you've taken sannyasa and given up everything except your independence. Just stay here in Mayapur. Why are you so restless? You know, just. But Trivikram Maharaj didn't surrender. He went wherever he went. I didn't hear the end of the discussion. So whether if one was to be engaged in brahminical duty, the uplifting factor was not just because you're inclined to intellectual work, then you become a brahmana, but it was dependent upon the order of the spiritual master and the attachment to the spiritual master, and thereby attachment to doing it for Krishna. And absent that, even if one does engage according to propensity, doesn't have the same elevating effect. What to speak of it, out of surrender doing something that may be different than one's propensity, because it's for Krishna. So the classic system of training in Vedic school is the teacher would live with the students. By living with the students, they would see their nature. And according to nature, they would train them in a particular varna. But all the students got the same, you know, basic training and then varna-specific training so that they could evolve into a particular career, but they would have the foundation of spiritual knowledge and character and then particular career or skill, so they could act according to their propensity in their adult life. So that classic system we don't have in the modern context that you're referring to. We have persons that come forward, and so the basic training is also needed. That is the formation of character and foundation of spiritual understanding that's appropriate for everyone. That's what our Vaishnava life is. And then looking to see propensity and engaging according to propensity, encouraging according to propensity, with pervasive, ubiquitous understanding and emphasis on foundation of spiritual understanding and dependence upon Guru and Krishna to do whatever we do, to take our next step, or to speak of our life, fulfill the duties of life under the shelter and dependence of Guru and Krishna, the bestower of in general our Bhagavad Dharma system, hearing and chanting. So if someone is less inclined, they're less inclined to brahminical activity, that's to be honored, recognized and honored. At the same time, everyone should engage in basic Bhagavad Dharma, propensity or not. It's not that only the brahmanas would attend Mangalarti. Or chant 16 rounds. Everyone would, perform spiritual activities for their purification, Bhagavad Dharma. And then within that, the big picture of everybody, this propensity, that propensity, accordingly. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. He died.